Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Quincy Jones. On this show, we'll listen to some of the movie music of Quincy Jones, that multiple hyphenate, let me take a breath here, composer, arranger, producer, songwriter, record label mogul, who has blazed across the cultural cosmos for most of the last 100 years. We'll really concentrate on the 10 years or so from the first part of his movie career. That's the early 1960s to the early 70s, although he went on beyond that. But that was an incredibly prolific period for him in film. We got selections from big films like In the Heat of the Night and In Cold Blood. And then the second half of the show, I promised to bring in the funk. And then for the trailer at the end of the show, we'll have a Quincy Jones track that enjoyed a revival in recent years thanks to the movies. I suppose Quincy Jones needs little introduction, but we'll do a little background nonetheless here. Quincy Delight Jones Jr. was born in Chicago in 1933. His family moved to the Puget Sound area when Jones was 10, Bremerton to be specific. He went to Garfield High School in Seattle, discovered music in a serious way. He eventually ended up with trumpet as his instrument of choice. As a teenager in the it was a very lively Seattle jazz scene. He fell in with a musical genius, a couple of years older, Ray Charles. That was the beginning of a lifelong friendship. And here's what Jones told an interviewer at Downbeat magazine a few years ago. He said, "When I was 14 years old and Ray Charles was 16, our average night went like this. We played from 7 to 10 at a real pristine Seattle tennis club, the White Coats and Ties. From 10 to about 1 o'clock, we'd go play the black clubs, the Black and Tan, the Rocking Chair, and the Washington Educational and Social Club, which is a funny name, funkiest club in the world. We'd play for strippers and comedians and play R&B. It was a vocal group. And at about 1:30 or 2 a.m., everybody got rid of their gigs, and we went to the Elks Club to play hardcore bebop all night long." So that quote and not only gives a sense of the scene, but it indicates Quincy Jones's early facility with and an interest in different modes of music. And that, I think, is something that served him well when he turned his attention to movie music. Because, you know, when you compose for the movies, you have to be a chameleon. You might be doing an urban crime film this month. Next month, you'll do a European spy picture, then a romantic comedy, then a Western. You know, you get the idea. Jones was mentored by some very big names in music in New York and Europe in the 1950s, quickly established himself as an arranger and musical director, working in jazz, big band, pop, rock and roll. He produced Leslie Gore's It's My Party, by the way, and of course, he produced the biggest selling album in record history, Michael Jackson's Thriller. Jones's first real Hollywood scoring job came in 1963. Director Sidney Lumet asked him to compose the soundtrack for The Pawnbroker, a film starring Rod Steiger as a Jewish pawnbroker and Holocaust survivor who has got a shop in Harlem, lives his life as though dead to the world. So Quincy Jones would need his versatility for a film that ranges from extermination camps to Harlem nightclubs. And we're going to hear some of that in a couple of selections from the film. We'll play these back to back. The first is just the main title cue, and it shows that Jones, really, it's amazing. He seems to have arrived fully formed as someone who gets what movie soundtrack music sounds like. You'll hear that there. The second cut is titled Harlem Drive, and it is a wonderfully jumpy big band number. So here's some music from The Pawnbroker.
Thank you.
Music by Quincy Jones from Sidney Lumet's film The Pawnbroker. You heard two tracks there. There was a main title selection and then a jazzier piece called Harlem Drive. Well, the notices for The Pawnbroker led Jones to move to Hollywood and go on a remarkably productive run at composing for movies, while still having to deal with racial barriers, by the way, in that business, all the while maintaining other music gigs. He did two films in 1965 that I think will show his range. In Mirage, which is one of those mind-bending sort of scenarios, Gregory Peck plays a man with amnesia trying to piece together reality and what happened to him. And Jones comes up with a suitably disorienting score. I think the subject matter in this kind of thing gives a composer license to get a little avant-garde in the musical stylings. As you will hear, the longer this next cue goes on, this is titled Dead Duck, in the soundtrack of Mirage. Wow, that sounded cool. Music from the 1965 film Mirage by Quincy Jones. And his other film from 65 was The Slender Thread. That's the first film from the future Oscar-winning director Sidney Pollack. This is a movie set in Seattle with Sidney Poitier as a crisis line telephone operator trying to help a suicidal Anne Bancroft. Here's a lively number, I think, that conveys a certain urgency, a cue called Funny Farm from The Slender Thread. Mm-hmm. Music from The Slender Thread, that track by Quincy Jones called Funny Farm. The first time Sidney Poitier and Quincy Jones would work together, but not the last time, as we will hear. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, the host of the show, and we are listening to film music by Quincy Jones. I mentioned the need for versatility in a film composer, and to demonstrate, we will listen to music from a much lighter fare here, a romantic comedy, the 1966 film Walk, Don't Run. If this is remembered for anything now, it's for being Cary Grant's last movie. But maybe it should be remembered for this next track, which in the midst of a very breezy score from Mr. Jones, delivers a wacky little vocal in what's almost a novelty song. I will attempt to explain afterwards. Here's Happy Feet from Walk, Don't Run.
We'll get someday. Shoes that are nice for walking. Old shoes, I hear you talking. Telling me you're needing a half sole, a whole sole. Oops, now watch your step, don't you trip. Come on, happy feet, don't you slip. Red light, green light, take it easy. Now get going, nice and breezy. Left, right, left, right. Yes, you can bet you're gonna get shoes. Red light, green light, take it easy. Now get going, nice and breezy. Left, right, left, right. Now happy feet, gee, life is sweet. And you can bet you're gonna get, yes, you can bet your happy feet will get you.
That song is called Happy Feet, from the movie Walk, Don't Run. The lyrics are by Peggy Lee, music, of course, by Quincy Jones, and the vocal delivered by Don Elliott, who was a jazz musician associate of Jones's, a multi-instrumentalist, including vibraphone and the mellophone. But he was also involved in a project called The Nutty Squirrels, which was speeded up voices like Alvin and the Chipmunks, but with actual jazz being played. And I'm assuming that that is the chipmunky backing vocals that you're hearing there, a truly nutty experience, unearthing that little gem there. Now, let us do a 180 and see what Jones did with an assignment on a spy movie. This was an adaptation of John Le Carré's first novel, made under a different title than Le Carré had. It was filmed as The Deadly Affair, 1967 release, again with Sidney Lumet directing. The movie's got that bleak Cold War feeling to it. James Mason plays disenchanted British agent investigating a colleague's suicide. We're going to listen to a couple of short cues from Jones's music. The first one is Main Theme Volume 1, and the second is called Blondie Tales. The first is a, sort of a customary mid-60s soundtrack music for a spy movie. The second takes the main theme, and as you'll hear, it makes it jazzier. Thank you. That's music from The Deadly Affair, composed by Quincy Jones. Those cuts, along with a lot of the music in the film, has a sort of Latin sway to it, as you heard, which I find sort of curious for this, you know, bleak Cold War picture set in dreary, definitely non-swinging London of the time. The music's good. I'm just not quite sure I get the match of music with film, but that's what Sidney Lumet and Quincy Jones wanted, and it makes for some good listening. 1967 was a key year in Quincy Jones's movie composing career, and the next two films will demonstrate that, I think. The Oscar-winning Best Picture of that year was In the Heat of the Night, with Sidney Poitier as a policeman from the North who gets mixed up in a murder mystery, a whodunit, and quite a bit of racism as well, while in the backyard of Rod Steiger's Southern Sheriff. This is a blistering soundtrack, very atmospheric, as we will hear in a couple of tracks that we'll play now. First is titled Peep Freak Patrol Car, followed by Cotton Curtain. So many inventive sounds coming out of the soundtrack for In the Heat of the Night, composed by Quincy Jones. That movie also has a theme song, you may recall, for which Jones got his old friend Ray Charles to sing, to memorable effect. It's amazing that the music from In the Heat of the Night, considering, you know, the movie won the Best Picture Oscar, did not even get nominated at the Academy Awards for Best Score. But Jones did get nominated that year, twice in fact. Once for Best Song for a not particularly memorable tune, from a movie called Banning, and once for Best Score for the very memorable In Cold Blood. That was Truman Capote's true crime book about the killing of a Kansas family by two would-be thieves, played by Scott Wilson and Robert Blake, very memorably. Adapted by the director Richard Brooks, who really pushed for Quincy Jones to compose the score above Truman Capote's objections. I think Capote came around eventually when he heard the film. Let's hear a couple of tracks from this chilling soundtrack. The first is called Hangin' Paper, and this is a really kooky sounding number. It's got a variety of non-verbal vocal effects, as you'll hear. And then we go into the darkness with the second track. This is titled Down Clutter's Lane, really disturbing study of psychopathology and menace.
Thank you.
two tracks there from the Oscar-nominated In Cold Blood score by Quincy Jones, Hangin' Paper, with a variety of wacky effects, as you heard, and Down Clutter's Lane, just the title of which will give you shivers if you've seen the movie or read the Truman Capote book. Last time I saw the movie, I remember thinking there was something about the black and white docudrama visuals and Jones's music that produced this truly unsettling experience. There's something subliminally troubling about that combination. This is The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are playing film music by Quincy Jones today. Why don't we take a quick 40-second palate cleanser from that scary milieu as we remind ourselves that Jones also wrote some TV themes, including the arresting music for the series Ironside. That was the one with Raymond Burr as an investigator injured in the line of duty, who solves crimes from his wheelchair. This one gets your attention right from the start. Heard every week at the beginning of the TV series Ironside was composed by Quincy Jones, borrowed by Quentin Tarantino for one of his films, now that I think of it. All right, let's move into a funkier realm, kicking off with the title song from a 1968 film called The Split. Jim Brown, not too far away from his NFL career, leads the cast of this heist picture, which also includes a bunch of actors just before they got really popular, including Gene Hackman, Donald Sutherland, Warren Oates is in there. Julie Harris is in there. I guess she was already popular, but I like the idea of Julie Harris and Jim Brown co-starring somehow. The real star, though, is the music. And to give you a sense of that, here's the title song of The Split, sung by Billy Preston.
Nothing but miles and miles of mass confusion. Gotta get away. My soul has got to find seclusion. Gotta get away. The split is the only way. Split cost the world. My head's about to split from the pain. Thunder, the pounding in my head's getting louder. I've gotta get away, gotta get away, gotta get away. Shake it, oh yeah. I think I'll have to take a powder. Gotta get away. The split is a trip away. Split from the well of the man. Break loose and slip away. Split from the crowd if I can, yeah. Nothing but miles and miles of mass confusion. Gotta get away.
That's the title song of The Split from 1968, composed by Quincy Jones, lyrics by Ernie Shelby, who had been a champion track and field man at Kansas University before getting into soul singing and songwriting. He met Quincy Jones when their wives were giving birth at the same hospital on the same night, made a connection and did a few movies together, actually, and sung by, very ably by, Billy Preston. That was just about the time he was turning into the fifth Beatle for a while. Okay, let's remain in the groove for a track from the 1969 film The Lost Man, which reunited Jones with Sidney Poitier. A thriller that made very little impression at the time and isn't much remembered today, but I have to say, the music is getting it done. Here's a cue titled Main Squeeze, which sounds just the way something named that should sound. That's a cut that could only be called Main Squeeze from Quincy Jones' soundtrack to The Lost Man. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are playing film music by Quincy Jones today. There is more in this funkified vein from a film that brought Sidney Poitier back to the character that he played in The Heat of the Night. It's a 1970 sequel. Of course, it has music by Quincy Jones. They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. Check out this glorious theme music from that film.
Thank you.
Good stuff there from They Call Me Mr. Tibbs, a Sidney Poitier vehicle scored by Quincy Jones. Let's just keep this thing moving with more music from this film. Here's a cue called Fat Papa Daddy, which has so many things going on in it, you can really hear, I think, how Jones has his ears up to take in the music of the day, whether it was funk, soul, rock and roll, R&B, whatever. Here's one more track from They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. The name of that cue from They Call Me Mr. Tibbs is Fat Papa Daddy, and that's composed by Quincy Jones. Well, also from this flurry of activity for the composer from this period came a 1971 film. It was one of those movies, and this is almost always ill-advised, in my opinion, that used a symbol rather than spelling out its title. So the proper title of the movie is the dollar sign. Even though if you say the title of the movie out loud, as the posters advise you to do, you would say dollars. It's a heist movie with Warren Beatty and Goldie Hawn. This movie allowed Jones to write a few songs and get some pulse going, including this cue, which is called Money Runner. Thank you. Okay, that's music from the movie Dollars, which at the title is really just the dollar sign, which is confusing. And so I say, if you make a movie, please do not use symbols or punctuation. Anyway, that's more great music by Quincy Jones. You know, his output was so prolific during this time that we've actually only covered about 8 or 9 years of this long composing life. And we haven't even mentioned some movies from this period. He did kind of a beloved British caper film, The Italian Job. An American caper film, The Anderson Tapes. He did a Sam Peckinpah picture, The Getaway, and much, much more. And that's not even looking ahead in time, as he mostly ended this really prolific period of movie composing by the mid-1970s, shortly after suffering an almost fatal brain aneurysm, would occasionally come back for a big project like The Color Purple, a movie he also produced. Okay, so that means it's time for the trailer, and today we're going to feature a song that was actually used in the background for a scene in The Pawnbroker, as incongruous as that might sound given that movie's somber subject matter, but which was resurrected to delirious effect in Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery, Mike Myers' retro spy spoof comedy from 1997. Prominently displayed this cut for a big production number during the opening credits. An excellent choice, I think. Let's enjoy that song right now. Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones. Soul Bossa Nova is the song, revived in memorable fashion by Mike Myers for his Austin Powers movies, actually composed in the 60s by Quincy Jones. You know, when we did a show about Burt Bacharach, we mentioned that Myers did this lovely grace note by adding a cameo featuring Bacharach himself on screen. Well, when you got to the third Austin Powers movie, sure enough, Austin Powers, middle of a big production number, and the camera pulls back to see that the scene is actually being scored in a production studio, a conductor with an orchestra seen from behind, and sure enough...
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Quincy Jones!
This is where the movie gets its mojo, baby. Groovy.
Yeah, there's the man himself essentially taking a well-deserved bow. Well, we've run out of time. There's so much more of Quincy Jones' music just from this period that we're worth sampling. We may have to do part two in short order. For our outro here, we'll have to hear just a bit of his theme song to Sanford and Son, officially titled Street Beater. It was apparently written in a day and remains one of the catchiest things Jones ever wrote. I hope you've enjoyed this collection of movie music by Quincy Jones. I'm Robert Horton. Thanks for listening to The Music and the Movies.